I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be looking at a passage here as we wrap up this short series we've been doing as we are approaching the Thanksgiving holiday in a time where we reflect on the blessings that we have, the reasons that we have to be thankful. It's good for us to remember those things. However, as we've been talking about in this series, that recognition that we have been blessed needs to affect the way that we conduct ourselves. We've talked about how gratitude should lead us to serve God. We talked about last week how gratitude impacts the way that we offer our prayers to God. And in this lesson here, this morning, we're going to talk about enjoying the blessings that God has given us and how we do that and how we are not to do that. Why gratitude is so important, because there are many people who they enjoy a lot of good things in this life, but they don't ever consider God in that. And they end up forgetting Him and misusing and abusing those things that may have been good in themselves, but then they use them as a way to turn away from God. We don't want to do that. We want to enjoy the blessings that God has given us, but we want to do it with gratitude. So we'll start reading here 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where Paul says here, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." In this context, he's talking about those who were teaching things that were contrary to the message that was from above, specifically about those who were forbidding marriage in verse 3, and those who were saying that there were certain foods that you were not to eat. We talked about this in our Bible study on Sunday mornings here, where we're going through Acts chapter 10 and 11 in the last few weeks, where Peter had to be told that, well, that those animals that you have always learned under the law of Moses were unclean. God has cleansed those things. And so he's talking about things that in and of themselves are good and something that God has given for our good. When it says that everything created by God is good and nothing is to be rejected, he's talking about those things that God has blessed us with, those things that God has given. And it says there in verse 4, it is to be received with gratitude. So what does that cause us to do? What does that produce in our life? Well, to start with, we need to be reminded of a few passages that hopefully we remember, hopefully that we're familiar with, but we want to be reminded of these at first regarding the blessings that God has given us, that the blessings that we have in this life come from Him. James 1 and verse 17 tells us that every good thing that is given is from above. It comes down from the Father. Everything in this life that is good is from Him. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul was preaching in Athens on Mars Hill, he talked about this blessing from God and how God blessed them even though they were out there worshiping an unknown God. They didn't even know who God was. And so they had this altar amidst all their other altars and all these shrines and idols that they had set up. God was there and God was still blessing them. But in verse 25 of Acts chapter 17, it says, "Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all people life and breath and all things." Verse 28, "For in him we live and move and exist," or "we live and move and have our being. For even as some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children." Whether people are believers in God or not, they have been blessed by God. Everything that is good in this life is from him. But one of the things that this does, when we think about, you know, this lesson is about enjoying the blessings that God has given us, and while we certainly can do that, this is another thing we need to remember as far as what we are able to do with our blessings, with the things that we have, is that those blessings that we have provide us with the privilege of being able to help others. Sometimes we talk about the obligation that we have to help or the responsibility that we have to help, and certainly we can emphasize those aspects of it, but here I want us to think about the privilege that it is when we are blessed, when we have an abundance, that we are then in a position to be able to help others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul was writing about the collection and the funds that would be used to help needy saints in Jerusalem. And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that there, the brethren in Macedonia, they may not have been ones who would have been looked at as, well, these were brethren who could certainly help. But they put themselves in a position that, or mentally, their attitude, they put themselves in a position that they could do this. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 3, I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in support of the saints. The way that they looked at this, you know, Paul said, you know, they are not in a position that, from his perspective, they were in poverty. They are not ones that could be in a position to help others, but they were begging that they could do this. And notice he says they're begging with much urging for the favor of participation, that they had the privilege to be able to share in this work. When we are blessed, we have that privilege. We have that favor that we can help participate in certain works, whether it's giving to the church on the first day of the week or helping others who are in need. That is a benefit. That is a privilege that we have when we are blessed by God with an abundance beyond what we need. But when we think about enjoying our blessings here, we need to do this in a way that is in harmony with the will of God. The principle that's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, where the wise man talks about how it is good to enjoy life. It is good to enjoy the things that God has given and the position that we have in our life. And specifically, he talks about the young people here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9, he says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desire of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all of these things." He says, enjoy what you have. He's not saying do this without limits, without bounds. Is God's going to bring you to judgment. So you need to do this in a way that's in harmony with his will, but within the context of God's will, he says, enjoy your life. Enjoy what you have. And this principle here, he's specifically talking about those who are young and those who still have hopefully many years ahead of them. But that same thing can be said of all of us, specifically as we go to the next passage we'll look at in a minute in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. But this is something that all of us can do. We can enjoy the blessings that God has given, but just as that reminder was given to the young man there in Ecclesiastes 11:9, you remember that God's going to bring you to judgment. So enjoy what you have. Enjoy the blessings that you have, but God will bring you to judgment. So do this in harmony with his will. So how does gratitude, if God blesses us with everything, and again, there are people who do not even believe in God, and people who have rejected God, they might see the evidence for God and have heard about God and maybe at one time believe, but they reject God. Well, they still are blessed by God. So there's a difference between people who recognize that God has given all good things and are thankful to him for that and those who are not. Well, what's the difference? How does gratitude affect how we use the blessings that we have? Well, number one, we are going to acknowledge that they are gifts from God. And this is important, that they were not obtained independently from him. That we are dependent on God for all of these things. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 18, it says, "Here's what I've seen to be good and fitting, to eat and drink and to enjoy oneself in all one's labor in which he toils under the sun during the few years of his life which God has given him. for this is his reward. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. So all of these things that God has given that are good, the wise man says here, that's the gift of God. And it is, God has given those things that we can enjoy them. That yes, we use things for the, you know, for our basic necessities, our basic survival. Yes, we help others, as we talked about that already. We'll talk about it again here in a minute. But beyond that, he says that you, God has blessed you. You can enjoy the things of this life. Again, do it in a way that's in harmony with the will of God, chapter 11 and verse 9. But this is, he said this is good and fitting, that you enjoy yourself, enjoy the fruits of your labor. He says in verse 18 that this is your reward. God has blessed you with these things. It's not our ultimate goal and not the final reward or eternal reward, but it is something that God has given us. It is the gift of God. Gratitude recognizes that, that it is a gift from him. And so anything that we have, no matter how hard we worked for, and he says here that this is the labor which he toils, that this is the fruit of that, no matter how hard we work for it, it is still a gift of God. God is still the one who makes it possible for us to do this, that we have the mindset to do it, that we have the strength to do it, that there are the blessings out there, the resources out there to use and to do these things. So receive those things with gratitude. Again, the passage that we looked at the beginning in 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, that everything created by God is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. So we recognize the blessings we have, they are gifts from God. We also, if we have gratitude, we will look to honor God because they're gifts from him. We will look to honor God with what he has blessed us with. Over in Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, the wise man said, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce. That God has blessed you, God has given you and all of these things to enjoy in this life for your necessities, for your enjoyment. But remember, you honor the Lord first from all that you have. God comes first in all this. And if we recognize, well, the things that we have, they are gifts from God anyway, then the natural thing that we do, well, we should honor God with what we have. We are to, as 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18 says, be rich in good works. And we'll look at that passage more in just a minute. But he says there, to be rich in good works in what you do. But going back to 2 Corinthians, we talked about chapter 8 and how the brethren of Macedonia, they were begging with the favor that they could participate in the support of the saints, that there is a benefit to them, a blessing that comes by being able to participate in this. And they were willing to make sacrifices in order to do this. Well, in that same context, you get to chapter 9, and Paul is still talking about that collection and the giving that they were to be doing. And what comes from that giving that we do? Well, we give on the first day of the week, and then that money is used by the church to carry out the work of the church. Or when we give and we, maybe not on the first day of the week, but we give to someone who is in need and we provide help in that way, there is a benefit that comes from that. There's something that happens as a result. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10, it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God because of the proof of the proof given by this ministry. They will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. When they would give, the brethren in Macedonia were doing this, the brethren in Corinth were now encouraged to do this. When they were giving and providing for the needs of others, it will cause those who receive these things to glorify God. It results in many thanksgivings to God. But what about the thanks for the brethren who are providing these things? Well, that's not what the focus is. They weren't giving so they would receive some notoriety for it. Or someone would look at them and say, well, look how, you know, look how generous those people were over there. Or look how generous that church was. And look at all the things that they were able to provide. That's not what the focus is. And when we give, whether it's giving on the first day of the week to carry out the work of the church, or giving that we might give to help someone who is in need, the motivation behind that should not be, well, I want to do this so that others recognize what I'm doing. And I might receive some thanks and some praise and all that. That's not why we do it. That might happen, but that's not our motivation. And if it doesn't happen, if our gifts and our and the benevolence and all that goes unnoticed, well, that's okay, because that's not what the purpose was. That's not what we were seeking anyway. But what does happen is that it results in God being glorified and people being thankful to God because of the gifts that they received. Well, we were the ones who provided that. Well, ultimately, God is the one, as we already talked about. All the things that we have, they are gifts from God. Ultimately, all of this is from God. So that is, He is the one who should properly receive the thanks and being glorified for these things. That's what it results in. So if we are thankful to Him, we will honor Him with the things that He has blessed us. But then that passage that I mentioned, 1 Timothy chapter 6, I said we'd get there in a minute, so we'll go ahead and turn there now. 1 Timothy chapter 6, if we have gratitude, as we think about all the ways that God has blessed us, we will see those blessings then as reasons to trust in God. And this, a lot of people get this wrong. A lot of people miss this point. They have all of these blessings, and especially too often it seems when they have an overabundance of blessings that they forget God and they turn away from Him. Paul said here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that if you have an abundance, specifically is giving instructions to those who are rich, do not turn away from God. Instead, he says in verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, to be ready to share. We already referenced that. We didn't turn here yet, but that was the idea. Be rich in good works, be generous, do good to others. Verse 19, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may lay hold of that which is life indeed. You look at those things that God has given. He's writing to those who are rich, who had an overabundance of the things of this life. He says, don't fix your hope on those things. Those are uncertain. We'll talk about that more in toward the end of the lesson. Those are uncertain, but they are, as we've talked about in other passages, they are gifts from God. That God has given these things. So don't put your hope on the riches, put your hope in God. He is the one who blesses us with all of these things. Over in Acts chapter 14, when Paul had gone to Lystra and was preaching there and healed a man there, and the inhabitants there in the city of Lystra, they concluded, well, Barnabas and Paul came and healed this man. Well, it must be, in their mind, the gods have come down. And so they all come out. The priest from the temple of Zeus there in the city, they come out. They're going to offer sacrifices. And Paul and Barnabas do everything they can to stop them from doing this, because their message is, we're trying to turn you from all of this to serve the living and true God. But in verse 16, Paul said, in the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways, and yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. He says, all of the blessings that you've received, and again, these were ones they didn't even know about God. They had to be taught here on this occasion. They are all gifts from God, but they serve as a witness for Him. The fact that we have all of these blessings and everything that we have to enjoy and everything that we need to survive in this life is a testament to the fact that God exists, that He created all things, He sustains all things, He cares for us. We see His wisdom and His love on display and His power in all of this. They are a witness to Him. Those blessings that we have, Paul told Timothy, teach the rich. Don't trust in those riches, but trust in God, because He is the one who gave all of those things. They are a witness to Him. So we need to have gratitude. When we think about all of the blessings that we have, we need to have gratitude, because this will affect our attitude, affect our behavior. But what happens when we don't have gratitude? And just like a lot of people in the world, they need a holiday like Thanksgiving to be reminded, because if it weren't for that, they would never even give a second thought to all of the blessings that they have and think that maybe they ought to be thankful for those things and not feel entitled to them. But what happens when we lack gratitude? When we lack gratitude, we forget that God is the one who blesses us, that God is the one who provides us with all things to enjoy in this life. You remember the parable that Jesus gave of the rich landowner over in Luke chapter 12, that he was one who had an abundant harvest, had all these things that were going well for him, that he was having to make plans, that he was going to tear down his barns and build larger ones. But you read through that passage, and it says in verse 16, the land of a rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He was focused only on this life. But you notice what also happened there. He never acknowledged that God had blessed him with this abundant harvest, that all of these things were possible because of him. And he was thinking, even spiritual well-being, I can take care of that later. I've got everything under control right now. I've got more than enough to do and more than enough to handle, that I just need to focus on all of this. He forgot God. He forgot that he was the one who had blessed him. The rich man here was only focused on himself. It's like, well, I've got this, and this is what I need to do, and I'm going to do all of these things. He needed to remember his soul and the importance of his soul. Like the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, how they thought that they were rich and they had need of nothing. And the Lord said, you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They were that lukewarm church, that they were not cold, they were not hot, but they were just kind of filling their obligations and doing what they needed to do on a minimum level, but they weren't really zealous in their service to God. They were focused on the things of this life, and they thought, well, I have need of nothing. And the Lord said, you need to buy for me all of these riches, all this wealth, all these things that you need, obtain from me these things. They were focused on themselves. Well, we don't need anything else from God. We're perfectly sufficient. That's what the rich man thought, and that's what too many people today think, that they don't need God. They have everything under control. They have everything that they need, and they don't need anything else. When we lack gratitude, we forget that God is the source of these blessings. When we lack gratitude also, we will only use our blessings for ourselves. Talked about at the beginning that the Macedonians, they saw it as a privilege, as a favor, an act of favor, that they were able to participate in the support of the saints. Well, they were thankful for what they had. They had first given themselves to the Lord. They knew what He had done. They knew their blessings came from Him. They were wanting to do whatever they could to honor the Lord and to help the Lord's people. Well, for those who forget this or choose to ignore this. Those blessings then only are for themselves. There's another story, I won't say a parable, but another story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus. And this teaches us a lot about what happens after we die. But I wanted to look at first what this says about what happened before they died. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, longing to be fed with the crumbs that were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. You see the difference between these two men. Lazarus was out there, and the rich man had a chance to help him. He could have done anything for him, but he ignored him. Lazarus was just hoping for the crumbs that would fall from the rich man's table, and here's the rich man living, joyously living in splendor every day. And again, as we've talked about, we can enjoy the blessings that God has given us. But when we have opportunities like this, like the rich man had, we need to do what we can to help others. And he didn't do that. He was only focused on himself. He was not thinking about anyone else. And so what happens is after they died, and he's in torment, and Lazarus is being comforted, Abraham says to him in verse 25, "Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted, and you are in agony. You have received your good things. That was all you got. That was all you were able to obtain because of what your focus was, what your attitude was, what your works were, that you only thought about those things. You only thought about yourself. You never did what God would have wanted you to do with those blessings that he has given. So that was your reward then. That's all you had, and now it's gone." He says, you had your reward. You received your good things, and now Lazarus is being comforted. We need to be careful not to be like this rich man and hold on to whatever blessings and wealth that we might have so tightly that we cannot, you know, even see how we could help others. Abraham said here that, you know, you've enjoyed your good things, and that was it. That's all you had. We can have so much more than what we can hope for in this life. Riches that are so better, and a reward that lasts so much longer than anything in this life, if we will put the Lord first rather than put our wealth first and the things of this life, put that first. When we lack gratitude, though, we see those blessings, well, that's for us and for no one else, because we forget that God is the one who gave them to us. God is the one who blessed us. And then finally, when we lack gratitude, we're going to put our trust in riches, just like the rich were warned about in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But we're going to put our trust in those riches. And when we do that, we end up serving them as if they were our God, because we look to them for deliverance. We look to them to sustain us. Matthew 6 and verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." A verse that was read earlier, but we're reminded of it here, that you cannot dedicate your life to God while also dedicating your life to pursuing riches and pursuing wealth. That it may be, 1 Timothy 6 tells us, there could be Christians who do obtain wealth. They become wealthy, but it's not because that was their goal. That's not because that was what they set out to do and they put that ahead of everything else. They put God first, and Timothy was told to remind them, you make sure you keep God first in all of that, and not be like what we saw with the rich man who failed to do that. But Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Some God has to be first in your life, and it can either be the true living God in heaven, or it can be the wealth that we have here that we hope to obtain. But if you look over in Proverbs chapter 23, the wise man said something about that wealth that we hope to obtain. And you talk to people out in the world, And if you'd ask them, well, do you want to be rich? Would you want to be rich? Sure, most people would say, well, absolutely, I'd want to be rich. A lot of people think about, you know, that is a goal. Well, most people aren't going to be rich. That's, you know, the law of averages. You cannot have everyone who is rich. Some people will be rich, some people will be poor, and a lot of people will be in the middle. But usually if you talk to someone, if you were to ask them that question, they would say, well, sure, I'd like to be rich. The wise man warns us here in Proverbs 23 and verse 4, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle and flies toward the heaven. That it is fleeting. It is passing away. And even, you know, we talk about the fact that we can't take it with us when we're gone, when we pass from this life. Even aside from that, while we're still here, that wealth can be gone. Instead, what we need to do, back to Matthew chapter 6, we need to do what Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount. Before he said that no man can serve two masters, he said something else about what we are to do as far as our priorities and where we store up our treasures. Matthew 6:19, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we put our trust in riches rather than in God, then we're going to just focus on storing up treasures here on earth. And we're going to neglect storing up treasures in heaven. When we lack gratitude, these are the problems that we get ourselves into. So we need to remember as we, and again, not just during the Thanksgiving holiday. The world needs a Thanksgiving holiday because the world forgets all of this. As Christians, we might enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday, but that's, you know, we are to be thankful all year round. But as we think about what we have in this life, we need to recognize that everything that is good is from God. Everything that we have here are blessings from God, but we need to receive those blessings with gratitude, which means we recognize that they are gifts from God, and we don't obtain them independently from Him. They are gifts from God. So we honor Him with what He has given us. Use our blessings in a way that bring glory to Him. And then remember that all of those blessings that we have, those are not reasons to think, well, we don't need God. They are reasons for us to put our trust in God. If God blesses us here, it shows that He cares for us and has promised something far better beyond this life. So let us not think that, well, those blessings here, we just need to focus on those and that's all we do and we don't need God. What the rich man did in Luke chapter 12. No, we need to see all the blessings that we have, recognize that they are from God, enjoy them in a way that's according to His will, but then allow that to strengthen our faith and our trust in God. Because ultimately, everything is from Him. And the reward that He promises us is eternal. It is in heaven. And that's what we need to be striving for. So as we close the lesson and extend the invitation, we want to invite anyone who is not yet a Christian to become one. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ and are willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith, you can be baptized to have your sins washed away. And if you've done that and have not served the Lord as you should, or maybe you've allowed some sin in your life that needs to be removed from your life, then we would encourage you to make whatever correction you need to make. Pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. And if we can help you in any way, we'd be happy to do that. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.